Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
We can pretty much start out the show today saying, well, that sucked. How are we looking? Bill Michaels Show on the air, Radio Joe across the way. And what was being looked at as a playoff type of atmosphere, it was for Cubs fans. As the Brewers last night giving up five runs in the 11th, the Cubs played about as bad as they could play to give that game away. And then you've got a 3-0 count to Rizzo and the long ball, and it all spiraled out of control. They got to Josh Hader. There's certain players. Orlando Arcia is just embarrassing at the plate right now. And the gloves come off because it's been now two full seasons of Brewers baseball for Orlando Arcia, of which he's given you a couple of months of decent offense, and the rest of the time it's been this. And they just are in the Brewers' heads. The Cubs are just in the Brewers' heads. The Cubs fans are. Joe Maddon is. The Cubs swagger is. You watch them. It is very difficult to watch a team tighten up when it's baseball because each individual player has to do it, okay? But in certain aspects, you could feel it last night, okay? When you watch the NBA, okay, and you watch guys starting to miss shots and they're doing things they don't normally do, you can kind of say, okay, that team's starting to choke the ball away, okay? In football, starting to panic, running around, kind of quarterbacks chicken with the head cut off and guys making mistakes, holding and, you know, not running right routes, not catching the ball, ball tipped into the air, turning it over, things like that. You can look at it and say, choking the ball away. Last night, the Brewers choked that one away. Cubs are a good team. I'm not taking much away from the Cubs, but the Cubs did everything they could to lose that game. Base running was poor. They had themselves a couple of mishaps in the field, and they just didn't look good. And the Brewers didn't take advantage of it. And it got bad after that. And then you're talking about a team that ties it up in the eighth, and then the Brewers couldn't. Here's the other side of the coin. As much as you want to talk about the Brewers choking it away, Brewers tightened up at the plate as well. All of that to run production that we saw over the weekend. 24 runs, two games, here we go, getting out of it. And then you're not even facing the aces of the staff of the Chicago Cubs. You're not even facing the aces. And they got tight. And I know players hate to hear it because how do you tighten up as a baseball team? You just did. You could feel it collectively last night. Just not a good night for the Milwaukee Brewers. And you know, do I think they're going to get swept? I hope not, but they're not going to win the series. Just not going to win the series. It's just too much flailing going on right now, too much guessing, too much pressure. Last night, Aguilar again, 0 for 3, a couple of strikeouts. His average continues to come down and down and down and down and down. Travis Shaw is still struggling, sitting at 246, 0 for 2 again last night. VR, 1-for-3, 276, but a key error in that ball game late. You know, and for those that say, for whatever reason, they just want to run VR out of town, my question is why? I don't know why you hang on to Orlando Arcia with the death grip that you do, but 0-for-4 last night, flailing at the end, just swinging at a ball way low and away outside of the strike zone, and just looking poor doing it. A whopping 202 is what he's hitting right now. You know, there's some sinkholes here. Lorenzo Cain giving it his all, 2-for-4 again last night, running into the wall, trying to flag down that fly ball hurting the hip and the shoulder and everything else along with it. Yelich struggled last night. He was 1-for-5, but still, how can you say he struggles when he's hitting .307 leading the team? Ryan Braun with another hit last night, 1-for-4 last evening. Also took a walk, did strike out once, but he continues to, after coming off of that weekend in which he was 6-for-12, he continues to be hot. Hernán Pérez picking it up a little bit. Boy, he's really kind of dug himself out of an early season hole. 2-for-4 again yesterday. But the rest, it was more flailing than anything. And it was disappointing. It was watching that team tighten up last night. How did you see it? I guess is the best way to put it. For as much as I can sit here and put different spins on things, how did you see it? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. On the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Junior Guerra, by the way, deserved a better fate. Deserved a better fate. And I'll tell you this. I'm not so sure anymore about pulling pitchers with 60, 70, 80 pitches. You know, unless it's seriously situational baseball in which a run is on the pond, so to speak. Some of these guys are dealing, and now, granted, you've talked about turning it over to the best pen in baseball, but the best pen in baseball is also one of the most worked pens in all of baseball. When you look at the numerics, when it comes to innings pitched, they're 2.5-3 games ahead of people. 855-830-8648. Would love to hear from you. Give us a shout. Last night, not a good night.
You know what? Let's talk about that for a second. You know, I could go back and forth on this whole debate.
On what?
This whole thing about pulling Junior Guerra after 6 and whether or not he should have gone into the 7th.
Well, we've seen it just in general over the last, like even take the weekend. You had guys go 5 1/3 and then 60, 70, 80 pitches. But you're talking about a bullpen right now that has 200, going into last night, 241 2/3 innings pitched.
Right.
The next closest team was 232. That's the Chicago Cubs. So you're still talking about a full game ahead of the Cubs. And the team with the best ERA, one of the second best ERA in all of baseball bullpen-wise, is Arizona, who's thrown 213 2/3 innings pitched.
Well, that's going to be one of the things that we're going to have to pay attention to, because we're 2.5 months into the season.
Right.
Can this bullpen be able to sustain the same success that they've had all season long? And I think that is a concern. The thing is, though, if I'm going to put any blame on last night's game, it's on the offense for not getting more runs. Because I believe, Bill, had the Brewers put up more runs, let's say there was a 3-run cushion, I think Craig Counsell trots Junior Guerra back out there into the 7th inning. It makes more sense. But here you are. You're nursing a 1-run lead, and now you have to play the odds here. Do you put Josh Hader in that situation, who's going up against Kyle Schwarber, a lefty, and do you try to say, Hader's been almost perfect this season. The Cubs have only faced Hader once. Let's play the odds here and put Josh Hader in there and try to get the 6 outs that we need. Or do you put Junior Guerra out there, who has been pitching well but has been throwing a little bit, and do you try to go that way and take your chances with a one-run lead? You could go either way on this debate, I understand both sides of it. Thinking about it last night, I don't think it was the end of the world that they pulled Junior Guerra to put in Josh Hader. We're not talking about Matt Albers.
No, I agree with that.
We're not talking about Boone Logan. We're talking about Josh Hader.
No, I completely agree with that. My point being is that it's a pattern in which guys, starters, who still have gas in the tank, are being pulled, and therefore you are racking up innings on your bullpen. I agree with the scenario, because you've got lights out bullpen right now, and that's what you've been living on.
Right.
But eventually it's going to come back and take its toll.
Well, if Jonathan Villar actually hangs onto the baseball and gets Ben Zobrist out at second, we're not even talking about this today. The Brewers win that baseball game. And this is a game, and again, for those that don't know this, I've been keeping track of a list of games the Brewers should have won and games the Brewers should have lost. And I have a certain set of criteria as to how that falls into it. So last night's game fit my criteria as to this was a game the Brewers should have won, and they ended up losing. And luckily, if you look at the Brewers throughout the season so far, they have won more games that they should have lost, which is 7, compared to games that they should have won and ended up losing, which is at 3. So that is my little tracker. And we'll get to this during the All-Star break. We'll go through some of these games that have gone either way. But last night was unacceptable. That Brewer offense, you see all these other teams scoring runs off of Jose Quintana. Why can this Brewers team not do it?
That's exactly my point.
Why can't they do it?
Because they're in their head. They're in their head.
It doesn't make any sense.
They're gripping the bat tighter. They're worried about the Cubs fans. It's loud in Miller Park. Every play, every pitch has cheers and boos. And, you know, I mean, you got your own guys being booed as they come to the plate, and they're in their head. They're in their head.
Well, Braun was getting booed.
Not as roundly as Braun. No, of course not.
Braun's the only one that gets booed. Now, Braun, hey, let's mention Ryan Braun here. Hell of a night last night defensively.
He was fantastic.
That was awesome.
He was fantastic.
Robin Contreras, the other diving play, he can still play some D. Considering how fragile this man is, and I worry when he's trying to make those big plays that he's going to injure himself again, but kudos to Braun last night.
Nick says, can we now touch on the Brewers leaving a guy stranded on second base, no outs? They couldn't even move him over. What happened to all the sack bunts that they ran a few years back? Small ball could have won that game without going to extra innings last night. We have talked about it time and again, and they don't know how to bunt. The Brewers, I mean, there is no small ball with the Milwaukee Brewers. They don't know how to bunt. Just so we can end the discussion. Fundamental baseball, in that sense, is not a part of their modus operandi, okay? It's not what they do. We can argue about it and yell and scream that why aren't you doing this, but it's not what they do. They can't, which is embarrassing, but they can't. Let's go to Eric listening to us in Brookfield. Eric, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, Bill. Good afternoon. Great show. I watched the whole game. I thought it was a great game. I forgot the inning. It was about the fifth or sixth inning. Somebody hit one deep to right. We caught it, and then he went to – they were tagging up, and we missed the assist there at second base. And the gentleman – I forgot who was playing second last night.
But VR.
VR was.
He couldn't tag him, and you could just see it at that point. It gave him an extra out. Then that lefty came up and hit that smash to right field and scored that run.
Mm-hmm.
And you could – from that point on – you could almost just see it in their faces, like, oh, no, here we go again. And as the one call mentioned, that leadoff double with no outs and you can't get him over, that run would have been key. I believe that would have been a two-run cushion at that point. And, again, it's just the small little things against the Cubs. And it seems like they're tight because when you're tight, those things really magnify themselves.
Yep. No, I completely agree. Completely agree. Appreciate the phone call. And we talked about it. The Brewers tightened up. They tightened up. This portion of the program being brought to you by Cousin Subs. It's where they believe in better. And at Cousin Subs, they want to make you a VIP at Summerfest. All you have to do is go to CousinSubs.com/biggiggiveaway, and you could be treated like a VIP and catch one of the concerts at Summerfest in the American Family Insurance Amphitheater. Couple of tickets, parking pass, gift cards, all compliments of Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We are talking Brewers baseball. Did the Brewers just simply tighten up last night? Stay tuned. Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. He's going to answer that very question coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Well, Josh, you know, Josh walked a guy and gave up a single. They tagged up and... You know, I thought we might have had a play there on the tag up. I haven't seen the replay on it, but didn't get an out there. And then, you know, a guy hit a base hit. There was nothing much to that. Matt just, you know, he obviously, you know, the first pitch changeup, homer, and then he just had a hard time kind of putting guys away. Really, they had some good at bats in the 11th for sure.
That almost requires the decipher machine regarding Matt Albers because Matt Albers, just let's be honest, just didn't look good. I mean, you can say what you want, but, I mean, if you could just say lit up, that might be the best way to put it. So, not a great night. Not a great night for the Milwaukee Brewers. And quite frankly, it's now, Albers going two-thirds of an inning, giving up three hits, five runs, all of them earn a walk and a long ball along the way. And he took the loss. He goes to 3-2 on the season. But just that was bad. That was about as bad gets. You know, you can either not hit the strike zone or throw meatballs down the middle. I mean, there just didn't seem to be an in-between. Hader coming in and giving up a very rare run. struck out a couple, but walked a couple. Corey Knebel comes in. Now, granted, he didn't give up a run, but his control is nowhere near what he needs it to be right now. He came in, get through what, six straight balls before finally getting one over the plate. Jeremy Jeffers comes in solid, you know, but Albers and Logan just, oh well, it is what it is. Logan comes in, gets that last out. But by then, it was all pretty much done. 855-830-8648. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, the guy that dealt with the aftermath last evening, Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show. And, Tim, I can only imagine what last night was as you were taking phone calls from angry Brewers fans.
Yeah, it's quite nauseating. And being on the air till 1 o'clock, good 2 hours on the air, we kind of hashed things out and was very therapeutic in a way. I'm not going to go so far as to use the word choke yet. Not yet. It's 8 of 9. Do they tighten up? Are they in their head? I think we can all agree they are.
Yep.
You can't be making these mistakes mid and late game like that. And that includes the manager. The manager's learning on the fly. The manager needs to do something a little different. When the freight train is on the tracks and just smooth sailing, got to derail it somehow. Whatever it is, I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. And I'm not saying buzz the tower and get in a fight with these guys. It's not what I'm saying. A lineup thing, a change of strategy a little bit. I heard you guys talking about leadoff double there in the seventh inning.
Mm-hmm.
And why wouldn't you change your strategy? Just go on your gut, man. For once in your life, go on your gut. Set aside the numbers a little bit. See if that works, because it's clear that what you're doing isn't. With Josh Hader, I would do that. I would make that move again in a second. In a second. You go to Hader, you got the lead. 98 times out of 100, that's going to work. And these guys are occasionally going to give up runs. What the warning sign was Schwarber's at bat against Hader. He was getting around on him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what flared me on, uh-oh, this might be the one here where they get him. And it's funny how the stars and the baseball cosmic tumblers just dial in. Dude hasn't given up a run since early May. You got all these games in the middle, all these road trips and big wins and games and Hader doing his thing, and it dials, the landing zone dials right in on Miller Park, game one of a Cubs series, and it just the stars did not line up for Josh giving up that run. It's tough.
So, in the way I look at it, when you have a team that is in your head in baseball. And I describe this, you know, football, you can see guys begin to just try to overplay, do too much. When it's basketball, guys start missing shots. When it's baseball, it's gripping too tight at the plate. It's, you can just see it throughout a ball game. You know what I mean? You can feel that this team is just in the head. I don't know what else to say, Tim. I until they beat them, I said this was going to be the series that was going to feel like a playoff series, and they needed to punch them in the face. They clearly got punched last night because the Cubs did everything they could to lose that ball game, and the Brewers still gave it to them. They made errors at key times. VR's error, obviously, it was costly. Arcia couldn't. Right now, he's just bad at the plate, to say the very least. It was just everything that could have went wrong for the Brewers went wrong late in that ball game when they really needed to muster the intestinal fortitude to be able to win that ball game.
Yeah, and it happens mid to late games, and we had been tracking that since the start of this season. What are the Brewers going to do 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th innings? And they've been okay. The top 14 of the top 14 batting averages in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings this year thus far in the National League, the Brewers have 3 of them. So they are doing a little bit better with regards to, you know, scoring runs late. But it just, you get that feel, man, where things do tighten up a little bit and they're thinking about things, and just throw it off the tracker, Craig. Just throw it off the tracker. I don't believe for a second, I know Craig Counsell is going to cover his guy, Jonathan Villar. It's funny how eyesight tends to go with managers when there's a critical question and a critical call. dude, you were watching the game. VR should have caught that baseball, and it should have been a double play.
Mm-hmm.
It was as simple as that. It's okay to admit that. You yanked Travis Shaw for a blatant issue the other day. It's okay, man. It's all right. But it's little things like that. And Bronny said it right, man. You're going to have to start doing these little things. I really thought, speaking of Bron, he makes that home run robbing catch and then comes up the very next inning with two on. I really thought it was Ryan Braun from 2011. I probably would have laid a little scratch that he was going to game change right there and hit a three-run bomb take this
yeah.
game. It just felt that way to me also on the other side. But, you know, when you continue to do the same things, get the same results, I'm not saying when that point is. At some point, you will have to change something, Craig. And he knows it. I know he knows it. He's an intelligent dude. If you continue to get the same results and continue to just lay back and say, chill out, relax, it's baseball, I can't buy that. I won't buy it. I'm not going to accept it. And that's just my thoughts on it, that he's going to have to change something at some point. I don't know when that point is. I don't know if it's tonight. Maybe it's a lineup thing. Maybe it's batting the pitcher in the eighth spot, and maybe get VR down there in the nine, since, heck, he is hitting 276. And I thought it was interesting yesterday pregame. Joe was down there as well. You notice when they asked about VR, he said not one word about his offense. Not one single word about his offense. It was about the improvement on defense. And I don't know what the deal is with those guys in VR, but you got a 276 batting average. I don't see how he's not in there every day.
Yeah, we were talking, well, on the opposite side of the spectrum, what about Arcia? I mean, I get it, because of injury right now, you're kind of against the wall, but how do you still send that sinkhole out there?
It's a funny thing. He's a far better hitter than what he's showing, and it's amazing that baseball can humble you in such a way that you're not owning the at-bat. You're letting the pitcher own the at-bat. And it's funny how when you're going well, you drive the baseball. It's going hard somewhere. And when you're struggling, you're like, oh, man, I need to get a piece of this thing. And maybe you get a flare base hit. He'll get back there. This is a guy that hit 277 last year. You can't give up on that. They want to get him right. And quite frankly, they need him. They do, because what did you think, Bill, when you looked at that lineup and you saw VR, Kratz, Arcia, and pitcher spot?
Sinkhole.
You're trying to score runs.
Look, VR, like you said, 276 average. He hasn't been terrible. I mean, he's, for where he was at 231 last year and looking bad and striking out at just a pace of nauseam, he's picked it up. You know, his defense isn't perfect. We know that. Okay, but offensively, if you're getting the same numbers out of Arcia, you are not complaining about what's up the middle at all.
No, not at all. And I think he does recover to a degree, and maybe the timing is going to be good here in the midsummer here, that he does start pulling out of this thing at the right time and go through stages. You know, the other thing to take a look at, I don't care lefty or not, how you got Thames activated, and you had an 11 inning game and found no chance for him to get an AB in that ball game. I didn't understand that either.
Tim, always good to chat with you. I'm sure tonight's going to be just as interesting, and we will chat again down the road. Okay,
no problem.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. That is Tim Allen, host of the Baseball Postgame Show, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Schneider right now hiring drivers. If you're looking for a career, if you're looking to change teams, call Schneider, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Don't forget, coming up tomorrow night, the toys are on the stage over at the Budweiser Pavilion at the Wisconsin State Fair Park, and it all kicks off tomorrow evening. Free admission. It only costs you $6 to park a car, head on out, enjoy some music. It's supposed to be about 81 degrees and sunny tomorrow as well, so it should be a great night, beautiful night for Music Under the Stars out there at the Budweiser Pavilion at the Wisconsin State Fair Park, and it's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. When we come back, I'll talk a little racing. Charlie Kimball, he's the IndyCar driver for Carlin Motorsports. He's going to be joining us coming up. Also, after that, going to get back into talking some more Brewers baseball. Ugly night at the ball yard last night. We'll talk more about that coming up with Adam McAlvey after the top of the hour as well. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin Wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We're glad to have you. Hopefully you're having a terrific day. We certainly appreciate you hanging out with us as always. Take your mind off the Brewers and the Cubs for just a little bit. Going to talk about some racing. Racing is coming back to Road America and Elkhart Lake, and looking forward to it in about a week and a couple of days, as a matter of fact. They're going to start roaring through that beautiful road course there. And to talk more about it, IndyCar driver joining us here on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Charlie Kimball is in the house. Charlie, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show.
My pleasure. So tell me why Road America is special. Everybody has a reason as to why the road courses are so cool, but this one's got a lot of the undulations and such. So tell me what about Road America you like.
I think it's the fact that it has everything. It has the elevation. It has fast corners like turn one, the carousel, the kink. It's got heavy braking and sort of slower corners like turn five and Canada corner. It's got it all, and it's in the heart of racing country. I mean, it's a race that I went to, racetrack I went to with Skip Barber and Formula Ford and F2000. I won the June Sprints way back in 2002 there. So it's one of the great racetracks in the U.S.
So when you start, because right now you're about midway, as far as the standings go, and the season's underway, just getting underway. But that being said, when you're racing at Road America, I mean, in reality, how many opportunities are there to really get somebody, so to speak?
Well, the passing opportunities abound because the racetrack's so long. But the IndyCar series, the Verizon IndyCar series, is so competitive that makes it really challenging. There's such a parity within the series. And for us, in the number 23 Novo Nordisk car, we're with a new team this year. I, as a driver, it's a new car, new team, Carlin Racing. It's their first foray into the IndyCar series, and I think we've shown huge improvement. We had two cars, myself and Gallagher-sponsored teammate Max Chilton in the number 59 car, both qualified in the top 20 for the Indy 500. But over the last 5 weeks, we've had quite a few top 10s. Qualified 12th and finished 10th last Saturday night down in Texas. So hopefully we can keep that momentum going when we get to Road America for the Kohler Grand Prix.
I got to ask you, because that seemed to be what everybody was talking about, was coming out of Detroit, was the the executive driving the pace car and then smashing that into the wall. And that race number two, you ended up coming in 8th place, starting out 21st in that one. What is it like, because you guys go from an Indy, big super speedway, to some of the smaller tracks, to the Texas Grand Prix, you've got the streets of Detroit. How difficult is it in doing what you do in so many different venues?
It's challenging. I think that's one of the things that makes IndyCar racing great, is there are so many different types of racetracks and types of races. As you said, we come out of the Indianapolis Grand Prix, a semi-permanent road course, to the Indy 500, where we get a week of practice, 2 days of qualifying, 500 miles on a 2.5 mile racetrack. We go to a doubleheader on a street circuit, and then a mile-and-a-half oval, which is like racing fighter jets inside a gymnasium. And then we come up to Road America for just over 4 miles, and it's a chance for the IndyCars to stretch their legs. And it's not just us racing. There are four other support series. There's a lot going on with RV camping and disc golf, and the fact that kids 16 and under get in free with a paying adult makes it such a great family weekend.
With three top 10 finishes so far this season, I believe that's what you have, three top 10s. Yep. What is it going to get you over the top? Has it just been something where you just not enough hours left in a day, or what's it been?
Well, I think the challenge for a new team is we're competing against teams like Penske and Ganassi and Andretti, who have 25, 30, 50 years of experience. And we're a new IndyCar team. And while I have 7.5 seasons of experience under my belt, and Max has a couple 2.5 years under his belt, there are things that the team just doesn't know they don't know. And we're learning those. We're cleaning up little mistakes here and there. And to win an IndyCar race, you have to be perfect and sometimes get a little luck when you're competing with those powerhouses. So we're getting there. We're making huge progress. I'm really proud of the operation, the mechanics, And they put a huge effort in to run pretty flawlessly. October, November last year, they didn't have a single bolt of an Indy car and come away with the first half of the season, three top tens. We had both cars in the top 12 at Texas last week and the second of the doubleheaders in Detroit. I mean, that shows real meaningful progress.
In the series, you know, I know guys are close. I know everybody, obviously, week to week to week, you're going to see a lot of these guys. Who, when you're sitting back, you're sitting at 17th right now, but when you're sitting back and you're watching some of the other abilities, some of the skills, who do you admire that's either on the circuit now or guys that you have watched in the past?
Well, growing up, I always watched guys like Dario Franchitti, Alex Zanardi, mm-hmm. Jimmy Vassar, and then getting to be a teammate with Dario was pretty cool. And now I think Scott Dixon is underrated because he is so understated. As a driver, he won his 43rd career victory Saturday night in Texas, and his ability to get speed out of the car and also get fuel mileage was something that I learned a lot from when I was his teammate at Ganassi, and I think he will continue to write new records. But guys like Will Power, who are students of the sport and have learned so much, there was a time where his results on the ovals weren't at the same level of his road and street circuit racing. But then he learned a lot and he came away with a 500 win this year that was totally earned. And as being Chevy powered as well, being able to sort of see what he was capable of doing around the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is always impressive.
How difficult is it for your crew? Because, for his driver, obviously when you're talking about road courses specifically, there's a lot of wear and tear on you. But how difficult is it for a course that has so many undulations as Road America does? How different a setup is it for your team, so to speak, as opposed to, say, like you said, in IndyCar when it comes to Indianapolis Motor Speedway or when you're flying fighter jets in a gym, that type of thing?
It's a completely different race car. It's the same chassis and very similar bodywork, but the setup is totally different. And we will continue to develop and learn that setup from our race at Barber Motorsports Park in Alabama in April, the Indianapolis Grand Prix in May. We'll take it and develop it and learn and work with our technical partners to do some simulation work and polish on it and try and be better in Road America. The other challenge at Road America is with such a long lap, fuel is a real issue because if you miss the call to come into pit lane, 4 miles, it's not like you're going to limp around and make it home.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to run out of fuel and ruin your day. So getting all of those things right are really important coming up to Road America.
What is it about IndyCar? Now, we were talking about this last week where some of the other series we've seen their numbers, their ratings, their viewership, their numbers as far as ticket sales go, seriously decline. What is it about IndyCar where, not necessarily where IndyCar's rocketing upward, but they've either stayed the same or they've actually had a tick of increase in other areas?
I think it's all down to the leadership. Mark Miles came in, Jay Fry is doing a great job on the competition side. Developing the new bodywork for this year is something that the drivers wanted. The fans get to see us as drivers work the car more. The new TV package moving forward, the fact that NBC is going to carry all of the races next year, there's an uptick on network TV versus cable. Over-the-top programming is more available. I think it comes down to the fact that the on-track product is good and has stayed consistent and stayed solid. And the more people watch, they keep watching. So when fans come out to the racetrack or watch on TV, I think the Road America race will be covered on NBC Sports Network. And when they see it, they fall in love with it and they keep coming out.
Charlie, best of luck to you. We're looking forward to seeing you up at Road America here in about a week and a few days. So best of luck, and we will talk to you then, okay?
Absolutely. And if people want tickets, they're still available even for camping at roadamerica.com.
There you go. Always promoting. Charlie, appreciate it, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. There you go. Charlie Kimball, IndyCar driver for Caitlin Motorsports, Chip Ganassi, and looking forward to coming to Road America. A lot of guys just love what Road America has to offer in so many different ways, whether it's, like he said, talking about the actual views and such, or the driver physicality, actually having more to do with driving than it is just going around the oval and hoping that your setup's good. So interesting weekend always when Road America opens itself up to the Indy cars that are going to come roaring through there in, like I said, a week and a couple of days. Good stuff. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, and they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Eric Thames has something to say. We'll hear from him coming up next on The Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad to have you. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day. Appreciate you hanging out with us, as always. I said Eric Thames going to the break. We're actually going to hear from Craig Counsell and the Brewers manager. Tough night at the ball yard last night for the Brewers. I think there are most fans, and even some of the, you know, the broadcasters, I guess, around in the area, believe that the Brewers just, the Cubs are in their head, for lack of a better term. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. You want to say choke? I mean, even Bill Schroeder last night during the broadcast said this is disastrous, you know, the way the inning was going. Now, he was speaking more of the inning, but you got the sense in general that this is disastrous. This is a team that they just simply can't get over right now, which is so baffling because they didn't have a bad season against them last year. It wasn't until the chips were down and they really needed to come up with a big series win that they ended up getting really drilled last year late in September by the Cubs, and the Cubs basically delivered a knockout blow. And since then, the Cubs have owned them. Last night, Craig Counsell says, what kind of chances did the crew have last night?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was, you know, the double plays in the first couple innings, but it was, you know, we didn't have much going against. We did, you know, tonight offensively, it was quiet again, really. The home runs obviously put some runs on the board, but, you know, there was some spots. You know, Hernan's leadoff double I thought was a really good spot, and then we get nothing after that. So, I mean, it was pretty cool. But it was quiet for both sides, really, until them for the 11th.
And then he goes on to talk about how the Brewers just, you know, kind of gave the game away.
Well, Josh walked a guy and gave up a single. You know, they tagged up, and, you know, I thought we might have had a play there on the tag up. I haven't seen the replay on it, but didn't get an out there. And then, you know, a guy hit a base hit. There was nothing much to that. You know, Matt just, you know, he obviously, you know, the first pitch changeup, homer, and then he just had a hard time kind of putting guys away, really. They had some good at-bats in the 11th, for sure.
Also, he goes on to talk about Hayward. I mean, thing about it is, Hayward has really started to heat up for the Cubs, and he came in and had that big hit off of Hader.
No, I mean, I think... yeah, I mean, he did. That's, you know, I think I was worried about Bryant. You know, I think just because of how Josh has been against left-handers, I think, you know, you're thinking, you know, it's a tough. Bryant's could be a really tough at bat there, you know, in his second inning. You know, I didn't see the pitch, but whatever the pitch was, yeah, left-handers have not done much since Josh has been in the big leagues. So I'd certainly give Hayward a lot of credit there.
And in addition to that, he talked about his decision to take Junior Guerra out of the ballgame.
He was leading off the seventh. I mean, he was leading off the bottom of the sixth. You know, so that, you know, in combination with having Josh fresh and available for a couple innings, I thought we had to, you know, put Domingo up there with, you know, the top of our order coming up is a, you know, chance to put together an inning. And then, you know, Josh has been pretty darn good, man. So it's, you know, I mean, he obviously was pitching very well and capable of, you know, continuing, you know, and it's not, just get 18 outs and you're done. But with Josh really teed up and ready to go tonight, that was the right move.
In addition to that, he also talks about Guerra himself and the job that he did.
Well, don't worry about the decisions. He's pitching really well. I mean, he's been outstanding, giving us a chance to win, and more than that, every time he's getting the ball, he's pitching outstanding.
He has been pitching really, really well. Didn't deserve the loss last night. Ends up taking a loss last night. So, tough one for the Milwaukee Brewers, and I guess my biggest question becomes, or is right now, about do you believe the Brewers, one, are sitting there with the Cubs in their head, and now that you've seen the – and I'm not saying everything's done, okay? But the Cubs have now climbed the mountain, and they've taken over first place in the National League Central. Do you believe it is now a scramble from here? We're going to talk with Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com. Coming up here in the next hour, also Mike Haynes, Pro Football Hall of Famer, the cornerback. He is going to be joining us coming up here a little bit later on, then about an hour and 10 minutes away. We're going to go to the enemy side. Zach Zaidman, the pre- and the post-game host. You can also hear him call, I believe it's the fifth inning in the Cubs broadcast on the Cubs Radio Network. We're going to get Zach's take on this and what the Cubs side of this is, because if you were listening to Chicago radio last night and today, like I was, they look at the Brewers as merely a wannabe big league team. That's it. Is that the perception? And is that where Brewers fans, including this Brewers team, are headed? We'll get into that discussion coming up a little bit later on as well. Stay tuned. Got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.